The Defense Department has submitted seven legislative proposals to Capitol Hill to simplify its acquisition process. But just don't call them reforms. That's according to Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, joins me now to discuss what DOD is asking for. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
So it sounds like reform is a dirty word up there, but they have seven proposals to do something. So what are they doing? What are they talking about?
Yeah, just don't call them reforms. You're right. I mean, they are improvements. They are changes, but reforms, no, because Kendall tells the House Armed Services Committee yesterday that reforms imply some big, big changes, some big initiative that can fix the entire acquisition system. But that is just not the case.
What we have to do is attack our problems on many fronts, incremental progress on many fronts. Learn from our experience and then adopt new things as we understand the impact of the things we've done. And that's why we've emphasized a continuous process improvement approach in the Better Buying Power initiatives over the last several years. And I think that's the right approach. I think we will make incremental progress on a lot of fronts. In the aggregate, I think it's going to make a big difference. But you have to be willing to attack on the details on a lot of different aspects of acquisition. At the end of the day, a great deal of it is about not putting rules in place or that constrain people, but getting people in a position where they can make better decisions and do the right thing, and then have the institutional support to execute the right thing and do it successfully.
Now, DOD is not in favor of another big reform bill like the Weapons Systems Modernization Act of 2009, but they do see a need for improvement around the process, and Congress can help by removing some of the more arduous requirements from the books. The Pentagon sent seven legislative proposals to Congress ahead of the 2016 budget request, which is expected to come out Monday. Now, Kendall says the ultimate goal, really, is to simplify the life of the DOD program manager.
Give a more comprehensive and coherent body of law. We get rid of a couple of documents we're asked to do that really have very low utility to anybody, but we're forced to do them. We clarify some of the roles of the milestone decision authorities. We simplify the rules and lifecycle support programs, ACT strategies. It's very inside baseball if you read them. It's all about the detailed rules that our program managers have to follow. What motivated me to do this was when we redid 5000.02, our DOD instruction on acquisition, there's an enclosure, it's enclosure one, I think, which is table after table after table of all the rules people have to follow and all the different types of programs and what rules apply to what types of programs. And the complexity of that was mind-boggling to me. So we really have to simplify this.
You know, if it's mind-boggling to Frank Kendall, whose job it is to really understand, to live in this world, if he thinks it's that complicated, it just needs to change. So Kendall says if these legislative changes, obviously if approved by Congress, actually would let DOD modify its new acquisition regulations. You heard him reference it, the 5000.02. That document was recently updated. He has these changes in the end would really give program managers back their most precious asset, and that is time. Now, DOD did not make those specific proposals available to the press, nor did Kendall offer too many details on them at the hearing. But a DOD official speaking on a condition of anonymity offers more information about the proposals. The official says Kendall put together a team about a year ago to look at everything across the board, hardware systems, large platforms, IT-intensive business systems, to try to figure out, from program managers, working with program managers, which documentation requirements or processes are just redundant and could potentially even go away. The official says the goal is to allow more tailoring and flexibility in the process and remove that unneeded documentation. They offered one example, the official. It was a idea that you'd have to estimate the manpower cost for each program, and that was a different document that had to be put together. The working group, when they looked at the entire process of a program, realized that same information is already being collected and fed into the cost estimation process. So basically what was going on here is they were doing the idea of estimating manpower twice for no reason. So that's one legislative proposal to get rid of. The official says they also want to have a standard language to describe risk and a broader set of statutory language that program managers could consider helpful and follow as they are making decisions.
And Jason, though, is there any reaction yet on the Hill from these proposals? Because I think the House Armed Services Committee and certainly the Senate Armed Services Committee might be looking for a bit more comprehensive change in DOD acquisition.
Yeah, Tom, I think you're right. It was too early yesterday to get real reaction from those proposals. I mean, they just did go to the Hill yesterday. I think we'll know more maybe in a week or two as the president's budget is sent through and consumed by those on Capitol Hill. And you're right, the House Armed Services and the Senate have been working on DoD acquisition changes for the better part of the year. House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry says improving the acquisition process is a top priority for his committee. Now, Thornberry says he hopes DoD's submission of ideas or changes, or don't call them reforms, becomes a regular occurrence. He says it's really a sign from DoD that they do want to cooperate on this challenge.
But again, the point I keep emphasizing is we're going to stay after it. This is not a one-shot deal. We're going to keep after it and after it and after it because we have to do better. I think the point of his proposal is to thin out and simplify regulations. So that is a good element that we can make progress on. You know, we're not going to get regulations perfectly, but make progress on right from the beginning. But, you know, as I say, we're kicking around some ideas of our own. Mm-hmm. Industry has provided proposals. I'm sure y'all have seen those. So we got a lot to work with.
So Thornberry says he'd like to get his first set of proposals, you know, from the committee's review effort out in March, get comments back in time for what he calls the beginning of the discussion to create the 2016 Defense Authorization Bill, which will start sometime in May.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, these seven legislative proposals are coming out. Do we know anything else DOD is proposing to roll out in the budget in 2016 or maybe later this year?
I think the other big piece of news that came from the hearing yesterday is a new office to take on business systems modernization. Now, this has been a thorn in DOD's side for many, many years. And what Kendall says is that the idea here is to create a center of excellence for business systems modernization office efforts.
This is an idea that I've been working on for a while. I've been working with the Defense Logistics Agency. What we did a few years ago was take a lot of our existing business systems and put the support for those legacy systems, I'll call them, at DLA. DLA also had a fairly successful, well, they had a bad start, but they recovered. They built up the ability to build an ERP, one of our standard business systems. It has a lot of utility in the logistics side in particular. So the idea is that DLA would provide a center of excellence that the rest of the services could use to assist them as they do business systems. So that's the concept, okay? We're still in the formative stages of that.
The DCMO for a while had taken over, and I think still do, the oversight of some business systems.
DCMO has the requirements. I have the acquisition. So we're cooperation on that.
And where would this consulting?
One of the legislative initiatives that we're sending over is in the area of business systems to try to clarify that. We've had a problem where business systems have been doubly supervised, partly by DCMO and partly by acquisition people, and we need to clarify the two rules here.
The Center of Excellence also will help DOD move to a more flexible model around business systems improvements. Kendall says too often DOD's approach is very rigid, and that's causing some of the problems of over the years of creating these successful implementations. Kendall says he's trying to ensure that every service and component learns from those past mistakes, use best practices when developing and implementing these business systems. Of course, that comes where the Center of Excellence comes in. Now, we've talked about these business systems problems over the years, Tom. Remember Dimers? That was the $1 billion failure that DOD went through. Even the Army with its ERP systems, while it's on a better trajectory today, it had some problems over the past years. The other big initiative that Kendall outlined, which will come as part of the budget, but also come, I think, separately, is the final version of Better Buying Power 3.0. That should come out in the next month or less. Now, we've talked a lot about what they call BBP 3.0. In the last few months, they've given plenty of draft previews. And the whole idea behind it is to shift DOD's focus to technology superiority challenges just from buying more smartly, buying more intelligently. We do have a link to our stories about Better Buying 3.0 on federalnewsradio.com for plenty more details on that. Now, related to Better Buying Power 3.0 is also a new aerospace innovation initiative that DOD will detail in the budget request. Kendall offers a bit of a preview of what the Pentagon's plans are for this new program.
What it will be is a program that will be initially led by DARPA, but it'll involve the Navy and the Air Force as well. And the intent is to develop prototypes for the next generation of air dominance platforms, X-plane programs, if you will. Be competitive. The Navy and the Air Force will each have a variant that's focused on their mission requirements. There'll be a technology period leading up to the development of the prototypes. And it'll be consistent with what we talked about earlier, where do the upfront work to make sure you're doing the right thing. But then reduce the lead time to having the next generation capabilities. So this will lead to the systems that will ultimately come after the F-35, essentially.
He says the Aerospace Innovation Initiative falls under the broader innovation initiative that Secretary Chuck Hagel announced last fall. That strategy from Secretary Hagel looks at business processes, operational concepts, how DoD trains its workforce, all around that innovation. In the end, Tom, the goal of Kendall, Thornberry, and many, many others believe that they have to improve the outcome and results from DoD's something like $500 billion acquisition budget. And there's a lot of little steps that could help along the way, and not just one big, let's blow it up the system and start over.
Interesting that Frank Kendall said that this would be something, this aerospace initiative would be something that would come after the F-35. There's probably a few on the Hill that would say, well, let's go right there now and skip the F-35 altogether.
I think the investment in F-35, no one wants to move on from there. But what this is doing, what these type of initiatives are doing, is really saying, you know, the DoD can step back and look at the entire world and say, who is developing, you know, new capabilities, and can they keep up with us, and can we keep up with them? The point of the hearing yesterday was to look at how is DoD keeping its technology capability interest in, you know, stay ahead of the rest of the world. And Kendall said something, you know, we're not falling behind, but we're having a lot of trouble keeping the distance. And he goes, a lot of people are catching up. And I think this new acquisition aeronautical initiative is part of that idea of how can we continue to push the envelope and move forward.
All right. And Jason, before I let you go, very briefly, you've got a story also at federalnewsradio.com that the Air Force is moving to suspend and possibly debar future procurements from FedBid.
Right. This happened just late yesterday, if people weren't, you know, paying that close attention. This was surprising. Basically, the Air Force has submitted FedBid for, they have suspended FedBid, and they are continuing, they're looking at potentially debarring the reverse auction company. Now, very few companies that, you know, end up very fully debarred, but the fact is the Air Force is making a huge statement that they have suspended FedBid because of their actions that were outlined in the Veterans Affairs Department's IG report from back in September. We talked about that this report a lot, and basically what the VA IG found was there was just a tale of allegedly procurement fraud, alleged lies to investigators, retaliations against whistleblowers, misuse of agency resources. And where FedBid comes in is they were trying to pressure a government executive to change his mind about reverse auctions. And this is what's fascinating, Tom. I went back and looked at the story that we wrote back in September, and they used words like, we would storm the castle, use a heavy-handed puncher, rally the troops on the hill, enough top cover to overwhelm, unleash the hounds, assassinate, you know, Jan Fry's character and discredit him. All those were came from emails from FedBid executives. And while it's interesting that the Air Force decided they were the ones that are going to suspend and potentially debar FedBid and not VA, the fact is, a lot of people didn't think this was going to happen.
All right. Well, interesting story. And once again, people put it in the email. It comes back to bite. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's News Fountain and executive editor. As always, thanks for that report.
My pleasure, Tom.